Gentlemen of the jury, look at him. Look at him. Look at this. Do you see a man sitting here? Do you see a man sitting here? I ask you, I implore, look carefully. Do you see a man sitting here? Look at the shape of this skull, this face as flat as the palm of my hand. Look deeply into those eyes. Do you see a modicum of intelligence? Do you see anyone here who could plan a murder or a robbery? Can plan anything. A cornered animal to strike quickly out of fear, a trait inherited from his ancestors in the deepest jungle of blackest Africa. Yes, yes, that he can do. But to plan. To plan, gentlemen of the jury. No, gentlemen. This skull here holds no plans. What you see here is a thing that acts on command. A thing to hold the handle of a plow. A thing to load your bales of cotton. A thing to dig your ditches, to chop your wood, to pull your corn. That is what you see here. But you do not see anything capable of planning a robbery or a murder. He does not even know the size of his clothes or his shoes. Ask him to name the months of the year. Ask him, does Christmas come before or after the 4th of July? Mention the names of Keats, Byron, Scott, and see whether the eyes will show one moment of recognition. Ask him to describe a rose, to quote one passage from the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Gentlemen of the jury, this man planned a robbery? Oh, pardon me, I surely did not mean to insult your intelligence by saying man. Would you please forgive me for committing such an error? Gentlemen of the jury, who would be hurt if you took this life? Look back to that second row. Please look. I want all 12 of you honorable men to turn your heads and look back to that second row. What you see there has been everything to him. Mama, grandmother, and godmother, everything. Look at her, gentlemen of the jury, look at her well. Take this away from her and she has no reason to go on living. We may see him as not much, but he's her reason for existence. Think on that, gentlemen, think on that. Gentlemen of the jury, be merciful, for God's sake, be merciful. He is innocent of all charges brought against him. But let us say he was not. Let us for a moment say he was not. What justice would there be to take this life? Justice, gentlemen? Why, I would just as soon put a hog in the electric chair as this. I thank you, gentlemen, from the bottom of my heart for your kind patience. I have no more to say except this. We must live with our own conscience. Each and every one of us must live with his own conscience. The jury retired, and it returned a verdict after lunch. Guilty of robbery and murder in the first degree. The judge commended the 12 white men for reaching a quick and just verdict. This was Friday. He would pass sentence on Monday. 10 o'clock on Monday. Miss Emma and my aunt sat in the same seats they had occupied on Friday. Reverend Mose Ambrose, the pastor of their church, was with them. He and my aunt sat on either side of Miss Emma. The judge, a short, red-faced man with snow-white hair and thick black eyebrows, asked Jefferson if he had anything to say before the sentencing. My aunt said that Jefferson was looking down at the floor and shook his head. The judge told Jefferson that he had been found guilty of the charges brought against him, and that the judge saw no reason that he should not pay for the part he played in this horrible crime. Death by electrocution. The governor would set the date.